Helen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us on The Daily this morning. Now, looking at the current situation for kids in the Northern Territory, what kind of numbers do we see of Indigenous children currently being held by protection services?
Those numbers are actually, they're incredibly high. I mean, Indigenous children are overrepresented in the child protection system and the justice system around the country, but those rates are much, much higher in the Northern Territory. The latest hearing for the Royal Commission yesterday heard some new statistics, and that included that finding that since the intervention that you mentioned in your intro there, so over the last 10 years, the rate of children taken into protection or given protection services has actually more than doubled. Now, within that, the rate of substantiations, which is when, there are child protection notifications when someone makes a report to the authorities and says, I think this child needs some assistance. Substantiations are when there's found to be an actual cause for concern there. So that's a very important statistic there, and those have actually increased a lot as well. But what we're finding is that more than 80% of the children involved in the child protection system in the Northern Territory are Indigenous. The Northern Territory population itself is 30% Indigenous, but to have 80% within the child protection system just shows the sheer disparity in these statistics.
It's a shocking statistic. Looking at the rate itself, this doubling of the rate in the past decade, have we seen an increased rate for non-Indigenous kids as well? Obviously, it's the representation numbers sort of speak for themselves, but in terms of the actual rate, have we seen an increase?
I'm looking at this graph now that was shown yesterday, and there has been an increase, but it's in no way at the same level that is seen in among Indigenous kids. I mean, that number, there are two spikes that are shown on this data, and one is in 2007 after the Northern Territory intervention, and another is after 2012, which is also when there were a lot of cutbacks in the public service. And so while we're seeing these rates go up, we're also seeing a huge problem in the capacity of government and authorities to deal with and to respond to these complaints and to protect these children as well.
Now, obviously, the protection of children should be really tantamount to just about anything. But in terms of, especially there, you mentioned substantiation of these kind of situations. What kind of criticisms have we seen of the current protection system?
Look, the criticisms are endless, to be honest. This is making up half of the Royal Commission. The Royal Commission, although it was called off the back of the Don Dale revelation, it's examining both protection and detention of children because these two issues are inextricably linked. Interactions with the child protection system is, it's a proven precursor to a child ending up in detention or at least having contact with the justice system. So a lot of these criticisms are centred around that the system is reactive. It doesn't address precursors to crime. It doesn't address the socioeconomic issues that lead to neglect, that lead to abuse. The main criticism is that the system, because of its lack of capacity to deal with the rates of this, is just responding to kids in trouble, rather than preventing it happening in the first place. And that's what this Royal Commission is hoping to look at and find a solution for when it finishes up in August.
Well, just how broad is this Royal Commission? I mean, you're looking at it sort of a reactive system. Is the Royal Commission actually going to be broad enough to say, well, we need to address these underlying issues, not just looking at the way these kids are treated when they do come into contact with authorities or the protection system?
That's a very good question. And everyone will be waiting to see what actually happens in August when this Commission does wrap up. From the conversations that I've had with people involved in the Commission and around it and who have appeared as witnesses, the concern isn't so much whether the Commission is broad enough, but whether they've had enough time and resources to actually properly delve into their remit, because it is very broad. They're looking at a 10-year period of two incredibly important and complicated sectors, but they've had, by the time it's finished, they'll have had less than a year to actually go through it, and it started very quickly. So there have been a lot of concerns about whether they've had enough time and whether they do have the capacity to do it properly. But as far as the actual remit for what they're trying to do goes, I think it probably is broad enough. It's just hoping that they can do the job properly by the time it comes around.
And just perhaps as a final point, Helen, obviously there is unfortunately, no magic bullet solution to these kind of scenarios. But what kind of negotiations do you expect to see happening to result from this commission?
Well, the new Labor government, which came in August last year, they've been very forthright in saying that they won't be making any huge changes until the recommendations come through. They want to base their legislative changes on what the Royal Commission determines to be the best course of action. Having said that, they have started making some changes to the system, but these are long-term changes where it's going to cost a lot of money. It will take, you know, potentially generations before you're seeing the full effect of what you're doing. And that's a very difficult thing for any government to commit to, because you're not necessarily going to see the results for your spending within your term of government. And while that's the right thing that government should be doing, it isn't something that we always see happen because they want to get re-elected. I think that's probably the biggest challenge for this, for them to actually step up and address these problems and acknowledge that, you know, it's going to be difficult and it's going to be expensive and it's going to take a very long time. But, you know, there is a burgeoning humanitarian crisis up here, and it's something they have to do.
Well, I think that's an excellent point to leave us on. Helen, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us, having a chat with us about this one.
No, thank you very much for having me.
That was Helen Davidson.